Hey, I'm Elizabeth Willits, and I'm obsessed with helping as many women as possible achieve their boldest dreams after kids and helping you to navigate this messy and magical season of life. I'm a working mom with over 17 years of recruitment experience, and I'm the founder of the Investing in Women job board and community. In this show, I'm honored to be chatting with remarkable women redefining our working world across all areas of business. They'll share their secrets on how they've achieved extraordinary success after children, set boundaries and balance, the challenges they faced and how they've overcome them to define their own versions of success. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, struggles, growth, loss, boundaries and balance. We cover it all. Think of this as coffee with your mates, mixed with an inspiring TED talk, sprinkled with the career advice you wish you'd really had at school. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to get inspired and chase your boldest dreams, or just survive Mondays. This is the Work It Like a Mum podcast. This episode is brought to you by Investing in Women. Investing in Women is a job board and recruitment agency helping you find your dream part-time or flexible job with the UK's most family-friendly and forward-thinking employers. Their site can help you find a professional and rewarding job that works for you. They're proud to partner with the UK's most family-friendly employers across a range of professional industries. Ready to find your perfect job? Search their website at investinginwomen.co.uk to find your next part-time or flexible job opportunity. Now, back to the show. Hello and welcome to this week's Work It Like a Mum podcast episode, where we dive into the stories that shape the lives of incredible women, balancing the art of motherhood with their ambitious career aspirations. Today, I'm delighted because I'm going to be chatting with Danielle Howell, who is the hormonal cycle optimization coach, and she offers advice in women's health. She isn't just about wellness, but Danielle is about empowering women to harness the power of their hormonal cycles, optimum productivity and well-being. She is a coach, speaker, and resilient mother who has stepped boldly into entrepreneurship. She embodies the spirit of redefining success on her own terms. So we're going to get to know the woman who's transforming the way we think about work, wellness, and our bodies. Thank you so much, Danielle, for joining me today. It's such a pleasure to chat with you. Have you always been interested in women's health?
That's a great question to start with. And if I'm honest, it's probably not. I probably grew up in my teens. I'm trying to think back. It's a long time now. I was probably fairly conscious of my own health, but not to a huge degree.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that certainly when I hit about 35, I probably actually started to pay more attention to my own body and myself. And it's grown from there, really.
Was there a moment then at 35, you know, was it something that happened that made you become a bit more aware?
I guess there was a number of things around my 30s. I started to get more into fitness. I was doing triathlon training, and I did an Ironman. I tried to do one Ironman and I failed miserably. And so I went back and revisited that and I did it properly. So I did it again and I just became a lot more connected with my body. And I also read a book called Period Power by Maisie Hill. It's a great read and it kind of goes alongside with the type of work that I do now. But really, when I read it, if you ever read one of those books where you're just nodding and think, oh my God, all of this is making so much sense of my life. And it was one of those moments for me where I thought, okay, I've been very fortunate in my life that periods were never really debilitating for me. They were quite straightforward and quite light. And so I was able to carry on fairly normal through that. So it wasn't something I had needed to pay attention to. But when I started to understand there were some changes that weren't just about PMT, that it was more than that, it turned into something bigger and caught my attention.
How does our hormones affect us throughout the month, you know, not just on our periods? And why should we all be more aware of our hormones and our cycle?
Yeah, so we often think about just being on your period or not, right? And thinking that there's two phases, but there's actually four phases. So you're talking about the first being when you do have your period and you're bleeding, and then you go into, I tend to talk about these as seasons actually, because it's an easier way to remember than these long sciencey words, right? So if you look at spring as the phase after your period. So period is winter.
Yeah.
Very similar to winter when you want to curl up and just watch movies. And then you go into spring after that. And that's when your energy is starting to rise and you're a bit more motivated to do things. Your summer is when you ovulate and you're really confident and capable of doing things. And you're just putting yourself out there in that kind of ready to mate phase. And then you've got autumn, which takes you all the way back to when your period comes again, ready for winter. So it's a continuous cycle, but there's four phases. And throughout that, as I say, there's a few things to bear in mind of how your energy will change, but your confidence could change, your productivity levels will change, and it can impact so, so much. And it is more than just your physical body. It's also your brain. There's a lot more research going into this now, and your brain can actually change by up to 25% throughout a cycle. So the way you're thinking is very, very different. So, you know, when you're working mum, whether it's your own business or you're in the workplace, the way your brain is working is different. And it's often, and a lot of the women I speak to, we only start to pay attention to that when you start going into that menopause phase, when you start to get brain fog or different symptoms like that, you realize the connection with the brain. So I'm really trying to encourage more people to pay more attention earlier on to get that connection with what's going on in their body, physically, emotionally, mentally, all of that combined.
So what should you do then? How should you, I suppose, it's quite, you know, I absolutely get it because I 100% like feel more energetic, happier, you know, in that earlier stage of the cycle. And then towards the point where you're coming on your period, you do want to curl up, you know, you can take things more personal as well. And feel sometimes things feel a bit of a slog, you know, and, but, you know, life unfortunately isn't like, you know, like businesses are, you know, 24/7, you've got kids to take to school, you know, every week. How do you modify your life, I guess, you know, once you've got that awareness to suit that your cycle? And is there anything we can do? And how do you advise people to manage?
There's so much you can do. So much you can do. Where do I start? And honestly, if you were to look at your entire life right now, all of the things that you're able to control, you've got things like what you're eating, you know, how you're sleeping, how you're exercising. It's quite a holistic view of well-being. It's looking at all of those different elements and how you look after yourself. In terms of if you've got your own business, you can adjust how you're running your own business. So it's lots of different things. Maybe should I give you some examples to bring it to life? So if we talk about our own businesses, it's probably quite a good example because we do have a bit more control than if you're employed. You haven't got quite so much control. But if you're running your own business, generally, when you've got your period and that week or two beforehand, you probably want to focus more on your kind of internal processes, your internal administration, the planning, the analysis, the financial stuff, you know, all of those things that need to go on behind the scenes to run a business, but you don't need to be out there front and center, you know, putting your business out there. If you can target the times when it's your spring and summer, so that time from when you aren't having your period through to when you've ovulated, and if you're tracking, you'll know exactly when that is. If you can focus those times on that outward facing stuff, you know, going to networking events, going to do more speaking, PR stuff like that, or maybe you want to go and actually focus your client work in there. There are people that take this really to the extreme where they have built their whole business where they are basically spending 2 weeks doing their client work, 1 week doing admin and 1 week off every month. Now, that's not necessarily everybody's desire. Some people might listen and think, oh my God, I need that in my life.
I know, I think that.
But it's just an example of how you can take it to that level. But yeah, because of the way that your brain is working, it really helps with things like procrastination, because you're not going to sit down and try to do something that your brain and your body is not up for at that time. And you end up going and procrastinating and doing something else that was never on the to-do list anyway. So it's getting a real good understanding. That connection is the most important thing, getting an awareness of what you're feeling like throughout each phase. And then making some, I would say just start small changes. Don't go booking a week off every month because I don't want to be responsible for that. But making small changes so that you just feel a little bit more in control.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to do the right things that feel right for you at that time. And you'll still feel productive. You're not going to go through that phase of sort of beating yourself up for not doing what you set out to do on that day. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you know, the people that do run their businesses like that, Do they feel, even obviously, you know, they must feel happier and more productive. You know, what, from an outsider's perspective, what does it look like to you?
Yeah. And I think this is the benefit some women do see of being able to have their own business. They build it how they desire, whether it's like that or whether it's in a completely different way. Obviously, anyone who sets up a business has a view of how they want it to work with their life, right? So for these people that I have seen taking it to extremes, yeah, they just seem calm, in control. They seem definitely still productive, because I think that's the other thing people think whenever I start working with someone, they always say, oh, you're just going to tell me I shouldn't do anything when it's my period. And that's completely not what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you to focus on doing some analysis of your business, doing some reviews of what's working, what's not working. What do you want to do differently? Because of the way your brain is working at that time, when you have your period, the strength you have is a heightened level of intuition. So that phrase of trusting your gut is very, very prominent at that time. So it's a skill and it's not to be ignored. And you can use that time to be productive. It's just a different way that productive looks at that time to what you might think productive is. So yeah, you can still spend time working on your business, but in a very different way.
So if somebody's working in a business and they're not running a business, they do have slightly less control, but how can they use an awareness about their cycle to, you know, make them productive in their job and make their job more enjoyable and more successful?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I do hear that a lot of people say, you know, well, I only have limited control over how I organize my to-do list. There's deadlines to meet. There's all sorts of things I have to be doing.
Got meetings in my diary.
Exactly. So without going into all the minutiae detail, the question I would say to you is, what can you control? Yes, there are things you can't control, but what can you control? So I would focus on making sure you are eating the right things. So your nutrition is well balanced, but also you can actually adjust the types of food you eat throughout the month. For example, you know, the days leading up to your period, do you ever find that you're just really ravenous? You're really hungry because you need 300 extra calories on those days. Your body genuinely needs it, yeah, because of what's going on, what it's doing, the hard work that it's having to put in for you to be able to go into that period phase. So that's just one example, you know, making sure you're eating enough so that your blood sugar levels can stay as calm as possible and not be fluctuating all over the place. It can help you to balance how you're coming across in that phase, how your period is and how you experience your period. There's a big thing to think about with stress. Obviously, we're always talking about trying to stay less stressed and be calm, which is sometimes easier said than done as a mum, right? But scientifically, the body cannot really produce cortisol at the same time as those sex hormones. You may have heard people talk about estrogen, progesterone. These are the hormones that are needed to be produced throughout the month that do fluctuate, which make us a little bit like we are, you know, how we're maybe behaving slightly differently throughout the month. If you're producing too much cortisol, too much stress hormone, your body can't do the sex hormone stuff that it needs to be doing. So basically it will stop it. So you may have heard people who are so stressed or, you know, working so, so hard, not eating properly, their periods can stop altogether. And that is because the body is trying to protect you effectively and say, okay, we'll stop that process so that we can look after you to keep you going. So we may not be quite that extreme, but you may find that the more stressed you are, you may find that you have more difficult time with that period. So if you can focus on those sorts of things, it can help you to show up at those times when you maybe can't control it. Maybe you've got, like you say, a big meeting or a presentation to do and it's your period and you're like, great. But you know, how you can choose what you eat that morning. You can choose how much sleep you get the night before. You know, all of these things. And I do teach people about specific affirmations that you would say on that day to yourself that you wouldn't say on another day. It's about giving yourself that extra boost of confidence that you may need on that day. So just setting yourself up as much as you can for the success that you need by showing up in the best version of you at that time.
So what would, you've sort of mentioned about eating well. Can you give us some examples of foods that are good to eat throughout the month?
I mean, generally having a healthy, well-balanced diet, as everybody says, right, all the time, is good for you. And it does help with keeping the hormones balanced. And that's so, so important. So there's something called seed cycling. Have you heard of that before?
I've heard of the name, but I haven't heard of what it is. So tell me what it is, because I'm not don't know anything about seed cycling.
So in the first half of your cycle, ovulation, before ovulation, estrogen is the primary hormone. And in order to support the production of estrogen, they say, the big whoever they is, but the scientific research says that by having flaxseed and pumpkin seed in that first half, you're going to support good production of estrogen. In the second half of your cycle, you're talking about sunflower seeds and sesame seeds, as opposed to the flax seeds and the pumpkin seeds, because those seeds will support the right production of progesterone, which is needed in that second half of your cycle. So the theory behind it is adjusting so that you, and you can incorporate that. Say you have yogurt for breakfast, which I do every day and have done for years, you know, bringing those seeds into that. It's not a major, major shift. And we're talking about, you know, tablespoonfuls, not,
you know, a whole bag
of flaxseed. But just making those small changes can support the production of the right hormones at the right time. And that can, I'm no fertility expert and I don't teach people about fertility specifically, but I've definitely read about success stories of people focusing on that to help you have the right levels of hormones at the right time. But yeah, I mean, the nutrition part, it's a whole world, which, you know, when I'm coaching someone, if we go into nutrition, that's probably a whole program full of content. We don't talk.
I mean, it's so important, isn't it? Nutrition. It is incredibly important. It's something you've said, like, stuck with me, that you need to eat more during, you know, in the lead, the build up to going on your period, because I've been like dieting for 2 years and it's not worked very well. I think maybe my metabolism isn't fantastic. Since cutting out calories, that's when those headaches have really kicked in.
Mm.
When I've come on a period, because I've been really trying not to overeat throughout the month. Yeah, you're inspiring now. I'm thinking I need to like think about how I eat, because, you know, it's probably not. Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important to firstly give you the energy you need to sustain the different phases. But it's also just important for your general health, to be honest. But if you're looking, you talked about dieting, and that word stuck out for me because I've ditched dieting altogether. I just like to focus on healthy living, healthy eating, but enjoying it as well, making a positive association with the food that I eat. And don't get me wrong, I have little treats every now and then, and I don't usually call them treats either. But yeah, it's just eating to a way that my body is telling me I need to eat to. But if you think as well about things like bloating, lots of women experience bloating at different times of the month, whether it's either at ovulation or during, or just before or during period. You know, things like the dark chocolate, which is an anti-inflammatory, can be really, really helpful. There's lots of other anti-inflammatory type foods, but, you know, that can really help with that bloating. And I've definitely seen a difference when I've been trying to adjust what I'm eating, making sure I'm eating more things like leafy greens and just more anti-inflammatory foods during that phase before my period is coming. I have gone to the degree, I have to say, I'm probably slightly obsessed, but I have basically four different meal plans that align with my cycle, and we alternate that every single month. So every week we're going into a different phase, a different meal plan, and I've got my shopping list all ready to go for that phase. And that's how I've got it working, which is a nice for my other half, because he gets a variety of food and doesn't get fed up with the same thing. But it means I'm getting what I need, and he's pretty chilled about what we're actually eating. But I'm just making sure I'm getting the right food that I need at any particular time, you know, whether it's focusing on the anti-inflammatory stuff, but also things like lots of red meat to make sure I'm getting the iron intake around that period of time to replace what you're losing. So there's so much to it, so much. But I'd say dieting is not ideal to support happy hormones. Let's put it that way. You know, restricting yourself and things like fasting, that's really done based on men's science. That was evolved very much from men's science.
Right.
And that may be, some people may disagree with me. It's quite a bold statement to say that it's not really supportive of women's health. I would say if you're going to do fasting, don't do it during that week or two before your period, because your body is needing it and there will be consequences such as things like headaches. And that's your body's way of saying, hey, something's not right. I need something here. It's just a case of working out what it is that you need.
I'm loving our conversation, Danielle. I'm learning so much. I'm like, I'm just so inspired. What about exercise then? You know, can you be exercising the same all the way through your cycle? She's shaking her head. No,
I'm shaking my head. You can't see me. There's a big shake of the head. Listen, so, you know, everyone is different. And this is a big important thing I have to say with all of this stuff I'm telling you. And it's important to caveat that, because we all experience our cycles differently. Some people may be have a little impact on the differences in their hormones, but some people experience a huge fluctuation. For exercise, I learned this one the hard way when I was doing my Ironman training, and I had a coach, and I actually took time off work. I took 3 or 4 months off, and I was training like a pro, like full time. And I saw it from my experience. As I was approaching my period, I couldn't physically push myself to the same level that I was at any other week.
Yeah.
But it's not just physically. My mental state was so different. I couldn't push myself mentally. So between the combination of my mental and physical shift, I would then feel crap because I'd be like, I can't do this. Why do I think I can do this? And it spirals then out of control. So I've learned since then very much about adjusting my training to suit my hormones. So a general kind of typical way of doing things, when you're in that period and the winter period and the autumn period, so the week or two before your period, that is when you probably want to be holding back a little bit, focus more on things like your technique. If you're in the gym doing weights, focus on your technique rather than the strength you're lifting. If you're a runner, focus on, you know, your technique of your running, your strength in the gym, go and do some work in the gym to help build those supportive muscles. Things like Pilates, yoga, stretching, all really beneficial at that time to support what your body's doing. It doesn't mean do nothing. And it really doesn't. It's about listening to your body. And the more you get that connection built up, you'll understand what your body needs. But then when you go into that spring and summer, so after your period finishes, you'll probably see that your energy is there. You're able to push mentally and physically. And in that summertime around ovulation, often that's when you're going to get a PB. Now, I'm going to caveat that because I do know people who actually are more sensitive to estrogen. And that means that actually as they come into ovulation, when I'm talking about having more energy and being really focused and confident and capable, for some people, that's actually too much. And it kind of takes them into overdrive and makes them quite anxious.
Oh, okay.
There is a typical way of looking at it here, but it's very, very important that you have an understanding of how your body is reacting to those hormones in the different cycle, different phases of your cycle.
It must be hard if you're a professional sportswoman.
Oh,
you've got matches and it might fall on your the first day of your period. And
it's being talked about a lot more, isn't it? I don't know if you saw in Wimbledon this year, they were allowed to wear black shorts under their kit because of, obviously, if you've got your period, you're going to feel really conscious. I can't even imagine for having to wear whites. And just imagine if you leaked, how awful would that be? And I have seen runners, professional runners, who now will run without any pads or tampons in. And it's got a name and I can't think what it is, but it's sort of like this, being completely free with your cycle and free with your period and just letting it do what it needs to do, which some people feel a bit uncomfortable about. And it's a really interesting debate, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, God, I can't even imagine when you'd show up to do your life-changing marathon.
Yeah, like you're running for you're in the Olympic finals and it's the first day of your period.
Yeah. So the British football team, and actually quite a lot of the football teams now, are really bringing this into their training. And I read some stuff about it when the Women's World Cup was on earlier in the year. And I found it fascinating that they're bringing that in, and it's brilliant. So even in their training, they're not pushing people when it's that wrong time of the month. They're understanding now, as coaching teams, they should push at certain times, and at other times they just support them in that phase, because they know if they push them, they're actually at a higher risk of getting injured, and they're not going to recover as quickly because they're straining their body beyond what is kind of necessary. So they're really bringing that into that. But obviously on a match day, that's quite a different topic, isn't it? You know, how much do you want to be pulled off the pitch because it's your period? Actually, you're not going to be performing to your best today. That's a really tough one.
Is there any evidence that, you know, I'm thinking of a team like the football team, that women, if you know, in close proximity to each other, their cycles sync?
Yeah, it's definitely a theory there. And it goes back many, many, many years ago, where they had something called the red tent. So if you've heard of that?
No, no.
In sort of communities, as we used to live, right, they would have what's called a red tent. So anybody with their period would then go and live in that red tent for that week or however long it is. But what that meant, you often see women in two ends of the spectrum. And then a lot of this links to the moon as well. I'm not massively in on the moon stuff, but I respect it and I appreciate that some people are. But if you have your period when it's, you know, lots of women having their period at the same time, you'll find a group of women also having their ovulation at that same time. And apparently the theory goes that that was so that women go into the red tent, but there's a group of women then there to hold the fort, keep things going, to support the women that couldn't do what they needed to do. And then effectively in a couple of weeks, they would switch and the others would be in the red tent and the other women would be out there then supporting everybody. So it just meant the fort kept going. You know, the men were still being supported when they came home from their hunting activity. Things still were ticking over, which is really, really fascinating.
That is fascinating. So thinking about like sex education, you know, and people that have got teenagers, you know, what do you wish was taught in sex education at school? And if you've got a teenager, you know, what advice would you have to support them? You know, girls and boys.
Hello to all our listeners. This is Elizabeth Willits, your host of the Work It Like a Mum podcast and founder of the Investing in Women job board and recruitment site. And I'm here today to tell you all about our transformative career coaching services. Whether you're returning to work, climbing the corporate ladder, or seeking a complete career change, our coaching is designed for anyone aspiring to make a significant impact in their professional life. We offer personalized guidance on crafting standout CVs that tell your unique story, effective strategies for nailing your next job interview, and expert tips on optimizing your LinkedIn profile to attract the right opportunities. And here's the best part. As a valued listener, you'll get an exclusive 10% discount. Just use the code WORKITLIKEAMUM when you book your session. Visit us at investinginwomen.co.uk/career coaching services to start your journey towards career success. Let's work together to achieve your professional dreams with the Investing in Women Career Coaching Services.
Yeah, it's huge because this is the biggest thing I say every day. God, I hear it every day. I wish I'd known this sooner, because at school, you're taught pretty much the science, aren't you? Again, those long-winded names that you can't even remember now. I still don't. You know, you're not really learning the impact. Okay, so my hormones change throughout the month. What does that really mean for me? And I think it's really important for young girls to understand that, because I know that there's stats of depression in young girls and mental health issues in young girls now are so much higher. And I think we can honestly help with that if girls can understand how their hormones are impacting how they're feeling, to have that acceptance that, oh, it's okay. There's not something necessarily bigger going on right now. I know I'm in a phase of my cycle where I am going to feel a bit down, or I am going to feel a bit emotional. And it's that acceptance. So giving them that information can be hugely empowering to them. So yeah, if you've got a teenage daughter, I mean, I love teaching people who are parents of daughters or sons as well to focus on encouraging open conversation.
Yeah.
From whatever age you feel is appropriate for your child, right? I'm not going to dictate and tell you from the age of eight, they should be aware. It doesn't work like that. Every family is different. But if you can encourage an open conversation, I think it's great for girls when they do start their period to have the ability to come to you and ask those questions, to know that you're there to support them. And I think educating both mums and daughters and dads, I should say, as well, actually, is just allowing them all to learn together about all of this stuff, because it's not a gap just for the children. It's a gap for everybody right now. And so I'm on a mission to change that, to be honest. But I think with boys, you know, and you may think, why would I want to talk about this with my son? But it's hugely important, because we're raising the husbands, the partners, the dads even of the future, even as a colleague, you know, to understand how your colleague is in the office and why they might be potentially a bit different, or as a friend, or as an uncle, literally as any role you could play. Having that information available to you is important. And I love it. And I'm going and doing talking, and I'm seeing more and more men showing up to these sessions. They're gradually getting more and more engaged in them. But the fact they're showing up is an amazing first step. They're there to listen. They want to learn. And yeah, I love to see that, because I think it's really important for us to be able to have good relationships and family relationships, partner relationships, whatever kind of relationships, having those open conversations, I think is beneficial for us to be able to thrive throughout the cycle.
Yeah, really good advice. And, you know, before we jumped on the call, I was talking about my daughters are 4 and 6 and they have no respect for personal boundaries. So if I'm on my period and I'm on the toilet and I wear pads rather than tampons, they'll come in and they will see the pad. And, you know, obviously it's not the prettiest sight, and they are sometimes quite shocked. And they like, you know, is it hurting? Are you in pain? If you've got quite an open relationship with your children, maybe mine's too open, but like, you know, how do you normalize it? Something like that to small little minds and not frighten them and not overwhelm them. Have you got any advice?
It's tough. My daughter's only 22 months. She's just coming up to 2. And she does definitely come into the bathroom with me. I hear you. We're there already. She's in there with me watching what's going on. So yeah, it's tough. You don't want to be ignoring it necessarily, because if you ignore it, it almost creates something where they will come up with their own solution for what it is and what it's about, their own story. So I think there's definitely a piece of acknowledging it. But, you know, explaining, yeah, I think you said again before the call, it's not painful necessarily. You know, this isn't bleeding as in like you've fallen over and cut your knee type bleeding. It's something very, very normal. And I have a client who has 3 daughters, and we had this conversation this week, and she has a lovely way of telling her daughters, you know, this is really important because it means that, you know, I can have babies, and it means, you know, I could have you. If I didn't have this, I couldn't have you. And she said, you know, when you're bigger, because they said, oh, mummy, I don't want to have that. And she said to them in a really nice way, you know, well, when you get bigger, that means you can have babies as well, which they love. You know, most girls want a baby, don't they? A little thing to cuddle. And they don't realize the hard work that is involved.
No, they don't.
But I think, yeah, acknowledging it, making sure they know it's okay and that it is normal, and that, yes, it will happen to you at some point, but, you know, and it's going to be okay. And I am here to support you in that, you know, to answer the questions that you've got, and maybe not quite going into that deep level of conversation at age 4, but it's a journey, isn't it, that you work through together.
And you did a TEDx talk. Was that something quite recent, or how did that come about?
I did. That was in May this year, so a few months ago now. Yeah. And I loved that experience, and I still pinch myself every time anyone says that to me. It's crazy. So that came about, and this is the power of networking for me. And I totally underestimated this before I opened my business. It was somebody that I had connected with. It actually is my brand photographer. And she sent me a message and said, this is happening at the University of Essex, which is literally 20 minutes down the road from me. And she said, you'd be perfect for this. The theme for the event, because each TEDx event has a theme, and the theme was Mind the Gap. And she said, your work that you're doing fits their theme so, so well. You need to apply. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll apply. You know, what have I got to lose? I didn't expect to get through, if I'm honest. So I get through. I had an interview on Zoom, because we're still in that world of Zoom now, aren't we? I had an interview on Zoom and got an email soon after to say, and the email, the subject was, you are a TEDx speaker, which was just like, oh my God, amazing.
Raymond, yeah.
So yeah, and I did that, and I really focused that on hormonal cycle alignment being a solution to burnout, because I see and have seen and have experienced myself so many women struggling with this roller coaster of burnout. I'm not, you know, minimizing what burnout is. I know some people really struggle to the degree that, you know, quite serious effects in their life. But for me, in my experience, it was very much a monthly recurring.
Yeah, I get that. I get, you know, normally when I come on my period, it puts me to bed. I get a headache. Then I will go through this, and I love my work normally, but for 2 days a month, I'm like, I hate it. I want to give it up. It's draining. I feel so poorly. You know, I'm getting burnout. And then as soon as I come off my period, I'm like, back.
Exactly. And I think if you've not got that awareness and that connection with your own body, you kind of just ride that roller coaster obliviously. And so I wanted to bring the concept of, actually, this doesn't have to be the case. If you can understand what's going on with your body, tune into it and start making adjustments, like I talked about earlier, to actually avoid that happening as best as you possibly can. It's still going to happen. I'm not naive to that, but it's about managing it as best you can. So yeah, I did that, and it was amazing. So if you haven't watched it, please do go watch.
Well, did you have to go on a date? Was it an in-person one or?
It was in person. Yeah.
Right. How did you manage your nerves?
It wasn't easy. I'm not going to lie. Luckily, I was actually ovulating at the time. So, you know, this is quite an interesting story because things change in your cycle, right? And I obviously focus on planning to avoid any kind of interruption in your cycle, but things do happen. And I had a bit of a shift in my cycle. So I'd written this whole speech around the fact that I was going to be doing this TED talk when I had my period. That was initially when I looked at the dates, I thought, oh, you've got to be joking. So I thought, you know what? Let me talk about that as a starting point. You know, I shouldn't be here today doing this because I've got my period. And that's exactly what I tell people not to do. But instead, because of this shift, I ended up ovulating. So I had to rewrite my whole speech on a completely different topic. But yeah, I got very, very nervous. And the day before, we'd gone for a rehearsal and I had a complete mental block halfway through it. And I thought, oh God, this is not good. Because I had to literally learn it. You don't have any prompts. You don't have any VT with a screen or not VT, auto cue. That's the right word. There's nothing like that. And you're not allowed notes.
And how long are you meant to talk for?
15 minutes.
Quite a long time, isn't it?
It's a long time. And I'd been practicing at home, obviously, a million times. My poor daughter, I think, if she was a bit older, she'd have just said, Mum, please shut up. But yeah, on the day, and I'm not going to lie, it was a struggle on the day. The girl running the slides got a little bit out of sync with what I was talking about. So I had a moment where I was like, oh God, this isn't going to plan. But it all came together in the end. And obviously, if you watch it, you'll see it was great fun and such an experience. And I'd actually love to do it again now. Having done it, I think I would be a lot calmer going into a second time. And it's that familiarity, isn't it? Once you've done something once, you know what to expect. So it'd be a little bit easier the next time around.
And what's it mean to you being a working mum? You know, looking at your daughter, how, you know, what's it mean?
It's blimmin' hard.
Yeah.
I think I said this to you before we started recording that I've worked with so many mums in the past and I have just never had any appreciation for what they're doing outside of those hours that I'm seeing them. And now I wish I could go back to all of the jobs I'd had and all the women I've worked with and say, you know, well done you. It's so hard. Yeah, I never realized how hard it would be. I set my business up before I had my daughter. I did a bit of a shift in my niche after having her. Right before I had her, I was just a mindset and personal development coach and it was quite generic. And before that, I was in corporate for many years. But I did a shift when I came back from maternity and thought, you know, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. And it's a constant struggle. And you'll know, and I'm sure everyone listening who has children will know, you get into a routine and then their naps change. And then you have to find a new routine. And then you get used to that. And then something else shifts and you have to get used to that. So it's like nothing settles. You have to just roll with it and do what you can. But at the moment, you know, I'm working evenings. I guarantee my other half Fridays and Saturday nights that I won't work. There are sometimes I do pick up the laptop while we're watching TV together and I kind of do a few things. But generally, I'm always working the evenings. I'm always working when she's napping. I do have a little bit of support from family who are wonderful. And that will change when she goes to preschool. So that's it. That's the next phase. And then when she goes to school, that's the next phase. But it's hard, isn't it? And this thing of mum guilt, you know, even when she wakes up from a nap and I sit down to play and then I can think of all these things that I really wanted to do today. In the business. That.
And then you're like, oh, don't pick up my phone.
Don't pick up the phone. No, exactly. Because I know.
And you feel you're in two places. You might be physically there, but mentally.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Now with our phones, you can run a business from your phone, which is amazing. But at the same time, it's also a real pressure and it literally calls to you. And I mean, my daughter, yeah, she's only nearly two and she already loves to play with the phone. And I sit there and think, oh my God, that's my fault because she just sees me on it all the time. And I do really try to not be on it 24/7. But, you know, when a client message comes in, what do you do? How do you deal with that? So yeah, constant battle. It's hard.
As someone that set up my business like you during nap times, and but I'll be honest, far too many episodes of Paw Patrol and Octonauts. But now my daughter is like, she's a sea life expert because Octonauts. They're both at school now and it is so much easier. And, you know, when she starts preschool, you'll notice it. And I hope you get to this point because I've got to this point now where I've managed to set up my business and it sort of takes the school day really. And then I finish at 3, go pick them up. And actually, because I've had that real chunk in the day, I can be with them and not feel I've missed things that I didn't manage to do in those little pockets of time. So it's one of these things like hang tight, because then it does get easier. And now I'm like, yeah, it was worth it, because I've got an hour school hour job, basically, that just fits around them.
Which otherwise, how do you get that? I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, there's times where I have thought, maybe it would just be easier to go back part-time. I don't have to think about this. I can walk away from the office and be a mum. But I've looked and they're not hard. They, you know, they are hard to find. They're not easy to find, those kind of jobs. So then I have to remind myself, no, why I'm doing this is actually because I want to be a good role model for my daughter. And I want her to see, if you work hard, what you can achieve. And what you can reach all your desires and all of your dreams if you work hard for it. So I have a little post-it actually underneath my screen. I'm looking at it right now on my computer, and it's got my why. And my why is, you know, watching her grow, having that time to watch her grow, which whilst it's hard, I have that right now. And I'm so, so grateful for that. You know, being a role model for her, the flexibility to live my life as I choose it, that personal achievement and making my family proud. They're the things that is my why. And every day I look at that and remind myself, this is why I'm doing it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as she gets older and she sees what you're doing, she'll be ever so proud of you.
And I love it. Even at two, nearly two, she loves to come into the office and she goes, work, work. And I have to pull out the chair and she sits there and she puts my headphones on and she taps away on the keyboard. And it really does make me think, oh, I love that, because she's seen me doing it, but she wants to be doing it too. She's not seeing it as something that she should resent because it takes my time away from her. She wants to get in and do it with me. So, yeah.
You know, I've never had, neither of my kids have ever said that, you know, mummy, stop working, mummy, get off your laptop. Never one said that to me, you know, and hopefully not like you, you know. I think it's good for them to see us work, because I think we are being really, you know, whether you work or not, but it's good to role model, I think, for your children.
Yeah. And like you said, I think that can be in any form, right? In lots of different forms. But for me, that's what I've chosen at this point in my life to play that role for her.
Absolutely. So tell us, how do you support your clients then? You know, what sort of clients do you support, and then how do you support them?
So mostly women, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And mostly people with periods. But what I find actually quite interesting, I get a lot of people coming to me at that point in their life where they're starting to experience some changes in their cycle. So that perimenopause into menopause phase, because they're starting to realize they need to pay attention to it. So what I would encourage, and I always encourage, start tracking your cycles earlier. Start ASAP today, make today the day, because there's so much benefit to it as opposed to it just being about menopause. It can help your transition through menopause, but, you know, focus on it as a priority right now. Don't put it off. So yeah, mostly women. I do kind of two sides to things, really. My corporate side, as much as I left it, I still like to go in and I love to be able to talk to them about how this can be brought into the workplace. Let's open some of those conversations, remove some of those barriers to this kind of topic in the workplace. And I love that. And then on the other hand, I'm working with individuals around their own cycles. So I have got a group program, which is specifically for business women, and it's really looking at how they run their business. Let's bring it into alignment with your cycle, tools, techniques, very, very practical stuff. But I also then work with individuals on a one-to-one basis, and it can look like, you know, many different things. I've got a VIP day that I've just launched this week, actually, because I'm hearing lots of women saying, I don't have the time to go on another program that's going to take me 6 or 12 weeks or be committing to that same time every week. So the VIP day with me is just, we're actually going to a spa, which I love. It gets me in the spa too, which is great. But no, we're going to go to a spa and we're just going to sit for 5 hours in a really nice environment and look at what you're doing with your cycle. How are you tracking now? And if you're not, that's fine. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know to start that tracking process. And then let's put a plan into place for all of your actions of how you're going to bring that into your life. And then I'm thereafter to support you through that as well in a number of different ways. But yeah, I love working with women. I'd love to do a course for men. Maybe that's on the agenda for next year, because I hear about it all the time. If I had a penny for every woman that says to me, can you do something for my other half? He really needs to know this stuff. So maybe next year that will happen. Watch this space. But at the moment, just working with women, and I just love empowering them to make small changes that have a big, big difference to their life.
Well, you've definitely inspired me. Thank you so much, Danielle. Where can people find you, connect with you and learn more and maybe book one of your services?
So I'm on Instagram and I'm on LinkedIn at the HCO Coach. And I am also on the website of www.thehcocoach.com. And if you want to get a free one-page guide to know what to do in the different phases of your cycle, you can grab that on my website. It's on the free stuff page. It's really easy to find, or just message me.
Brilliant. Well, we'll put all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Danielle, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Work It Like a Mum podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share the link with a friend. If you're on LinkedIn, please send me a connection request at Elizabeth Willett and let me know your thoughts on this week's episode. You can also follow my recruitment site, Investing in Women, on LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, keep on chasing your biggest dreams.